The Great Immigration Debate.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The Senate is getting closer to passing this huge immigration bill. It would pave the way for millions of illegal immigrants to become citizens. Yesterday, the bill's supporters beat back a challenge to the guest worker program, but they did accept some changes. For example, the program will be limited to 200,000 people a year. This whole debate has focused on illegal, unskilled labor, but the Senate bill also includes a plan to allow more skilled foreign workers into the U.S. Tech companies say that's a big incentive for creating jobs here instead of countries like India. Miranda Kennedy reports from New Delhi.
The plan would raise the number of skilled worker visas by 77% to 115,000. It would also make it easier for these workers to gain permanent residency. President Bush supports it, and so do most U.S. IT companies. Bill Gates recently traveled to Washington to lobby for an increase in H-1B visas. Jerry Rao, head of one of India's top software companies, says it'll benefit the U.S. economy.
Statistical evidence is overwhelming. This creates jobs. This helps the economy. It helps new ideas come into the U.S. That's why it makes the U.S. the home of global innovation.
Even if the Senate doesn't agree to hand out more visas, he says India will come out ahead. Microsoft and Intel have already warned that they'll be forced to outsource more work to India. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
In France, the 59th Cannes Film Festival kicks off today. The talk of the town, albinos, the Vatican, the Fibonacci sequence. Yes, the Da Vinci Code debuts at Cannes. And in Hollywood, as Tess Vinglin reports, they're counting on a little box office redemption.
Just by the numbers, this year is better than last so far. According to the tracking firm Box Office Mojo, movie receipts jumped 5% in the first 4 months of the year. But there were also 17 more movies. The summer blockbuster season officially launched 2 weeks ago with the release of Mission Impossible 3, but that film's disappointing $48 million opening weekend drew fire. And last weekend's Poseidon debut launched a flotilla of jokes about sinking in a watery grave. So now it's up to the Da Vinci Code. Variety's Stu Levine says Hollywood will fall to its knees if the religious thriller doesn't deliver.
How can that film not open to 80 to 100 to 120 million on its opening weekend? If it doesn't, then it's going to be a lot of hand-wringing, not only at Sony, the studio for Da Vinci Code, but I think throughout the industry, saying, what else can we do to open a film? If Da Vinci Code doesn't do it, then what will?
If not God, perhaps Superman? In Los Angeles, I'm Tess Vinglin for Marketplace.
It's going to be a pretty good summer for college grads looking for jobs. And a new survey says their favorite companies to work for, Disney and Google. But after that, it's government work, baby. The State Department, the FBI, and the CIA were next on the list. Grads say they want to make a difference rather than make money. Tech stocks continue to take a beating. The NASDAQ has fallen 5% in 6 days. Yesterday, it dropped another 9 points to 2229. The Dow lost 8 to 11,419. And the S&P 500 slid 2 points to wind up at 1292. This is Marketplace. This morning, the government releases its monthly index of how much things cost. It's called the Consumer Price Index. Should the inflation hawks be nervous? Hillary McKay reports.
Economists already know rising energy prices will push the overall CPI higher in this morning's report. But Gus Fauché at MoodysEconomy.com expects the core CPI, which excludes volatile food and energy prices, to remain largely unchanged. Fauché says U.S. businesses are mostly doing well and can absorb higher gas and oil costs. And he says, believe it or not, the U.S. economy has become less energy intensive over time.
Businesses, they become more energy efficient, they're using energy-saving technologies, so energy costs aren't as important to the overall economy.
Prices at the pump may be painful, but a year-over-year comparison of core inflation should still be in the Federal Reserve's comfort zone. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management. HR. Leading people. Leading organizations. Online at shrm.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. A lot of classical music orchestras in smaller American cities are having tough times financially. So what is a musician or conductor to do? Perhaps take a cue from the business world and head to China. Here's Jocelyn Ford.
Today is the second day conductor James Kalin has rehearsed Beijing's National Opera and Dance Symphony Orchestra. And so far, he's pleased.
Good, good. It's very exciting. Isn't that fun to play?
Last year, when Kalin quit a full-time university position in North Carolina to become a freelance musician, he had no idea China would be offering the jobs.
Bassist, when you have your fugue entrance, bum, 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 ba da ba da ba da ba.
This is his third trip. He's performed saxophone and was the manager for the Oberlin Conservatory Orchestra's five-city tour of China. Kalin says the connections he's made have opened up opportunities he wouldn't dare dream of in the United States.
This, you know, sort of gig to conduct a, you know, professional orchestra at a good concert hall in a major city is an extremely difficult thing to get in the United States.
Until recently, musicians from abroad who wanted to teach here but weren't famous had to make the trip on their own dime. But demand for classical music is reaching a crescendo in China. In the last year, the National Opera and Dance Orchestra that hosted Kalin more than doubled its income. Chinese concert organizers say that's because the rising middle class is willing to spend money on new experiences, and classical concerts have cachet. Kalin discovered that when he brought the Oberlin Orchestra to a backwater city and read a local newspaper article about the concert.
They actually said this was evidence of China's increasing cultural sophistication and evidence of the increased size and wealth of the middle class in China.
The local audience was noisy, and organizers didn't understand the needs of a Western orchestra. They failed to set up the music stands and chairs on stage ahead of time.
When we walked in the door for our rehearsal before the concert, and there was nothing on the stage, there was only about 25 young men from the Chinese army waiting to be told what to do.
Their commander gave orders.
Problem is, the leader doesn't know anything about setting up an orchestra, and he wouldn't listen to us.
So he had to reset the stage himself. When Kalin conducted a Chinese orchestra back in Beijing, there was no Red Army on hand, and the audience was prepped in advance on concert etiquette.
In order to maintain an elegant environment, please do not walk about the auditorium during the performance. Please do not applaud between movements. Please do not chew gum in the auditorium.
It was a well-mannered crowd and eager for an encore. Kalin is now planning a fourth trip to China. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Here's a public service announcement from your health-conscious friends.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.